Sure, absolutely.
The movie's coming out on this coming Tuesday, a week from today.
The 29th. Very exciting to me.
Do you still get excited about these things, or have you grown weary of the Hollywood machine?
This one, I'm very excited about this one because I wrote it and directed it.
So this is like your baby.
It's my baby. Yeah, it's my first baby. There's quite a number of babies in the family now. Because Alicia and I did three movies last year, well, four in the last year and a half. So, but Smothered is the first one out of the box where people will go, he's not like that young man who jumped in and out of the car.
Is that common for you to work at such a crazy pace, or have you hit like a creative?
I've only been in this business all this time because I wanted to tell my own stories, really. And I thought that the success of Dukes would enable me to do that, and it didn't. I thought the success of Smallville would enable me to do that, and it didn't. I thought the country music career would enable me to do that, and it didn't. So finally, after 50 years old, I decided, well, screw this. If I'm going to do this, I have to just do it.
Just do it? Do it on your own, I guess?
Do it? Yeah.
Instead of asking other people to fund it, you just...
Well, Smothered does have outside funding, so I hope that it does well. And Smothered costs more than the ones we've done since then.
So you said you've done four movies since then?
Yeah. Wow. Four movies since then. We're going to do another one in May. Very likely we'll do three movies this year.
And they're all movies that you've written and directed?
They are. As narcissistic as that sounds, they are. But I feel like they're about 25, 30 years in the making. So, yes.
Oh, so you've just been stockpiling ideas.
Yes, I have been stockpiling ideas. So I didn't write these all last week. I've been writing them over the last, probably 10 years, but really seriously writing them. I wrote and directed the last episode of Dukes of Hazzard. So, I mean, I've been doing it a while, just nobody knew that. And hopefully that's not why it was the last episode of Dukes of Hazzard. But
it was planned, right?
It was planned that way, yeah. But I'm 55 now, I'll be 56 in April. Something happened to my, I became a ravenous writer at 50 years old. I'm not sure what happened, but it was like all of my cylinders started firing through my imagination, and they all came out in these different screenplays.
Well, and that's actually kind of inspiring, because, I mean, you know, you could very easily probably just go to Madison, Wisconsin, and sit in a chair and sign General Lee's for 30 bucks a pop.
Yeah, if you can find him anymore. Yeah, I wouldn't imagine. I cannot imagine retiring. Now, I do like to take vacations, but I could not imagine retiring. Consider this. My dad died 2 years ago, 84 years old, putting a new radio in his V-tail Bonanza so he could go get checked out to renew his pilot's license.
Oh, Jesus.
So I don't come from a long line of folks who look forward to the day that they can retire, because my belief has always been, and it came from my parents, is that you should love what you do. And my dad always loved what he did. And my mother always hated what she did. So both of their sermons, if you will, were the same thing. Dad said, you've got to love what you do. If you love your work, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And Mom would say, don't do what I did. Don't believe that you've got to go out and just do what you hate in order to pay the bills, because it's a miserable life. So there you go. So I love what I do every minute. I've been working all day today and yesterday trying to, dig out from the flood that we had here last week at the studio.
So, and you know, we kind of said that, you know, this is the first one that you've written and directed. And you know, I would say that you're kind of going against type, I would say, as far as what people know you for. But I guess people don't really know John Schneider as a writer, and they just know playing other people's character. I mean, you were Superman's dad.
Exactly. Yeah, playing other people's characters. When people they say, "Oh, Smothered, we want to see that because we loved Come Dance at My Wedding," and I say, "Look, I love Come Dance at My Wedding too, but that's not the kind of story I write." I said, "So I warn you. I warn you. This is a movie about a group of horror icons. Turn the tables. In every other horror film, the beautiful people go out go camping and get killed one at a time by the crazy man in the mask. Well, this time it's a bunch of guys like Kane Hodder and Don Shanks and Ari Mihailov, Malcolm Danar, Bill Moseley. These guys who have played the people in the masks, who are going out to go camping, and they get killed one at a time by the large-breasted blonde wacko.
So are they all carpooling to like a Comic-Con or something? Or
they are at a terrible Comic-Con. They're having a very bad weekend.
they're just bored.
You know, we'd be lucky to make $100 each in this hole here. So he has been approached by this crazy girl's mother. And, of course, none of the guys know that the girl is crazy at this point because she has a great body. You know, so you forgive a lot of insanity if they have a great body.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure. So what he's offering them a way to make $1,000 each for the weekend. So that's what it is. Said, look, let's get out of here. We'll be lucky to make $100 each here. We're not selling. We can't give our pictures away. So let's go do this thing where they've been hired to haunt an RV park for the weekend as their character. So it's really a plan to get all these horror icons together at the bottom of a hill near a lake so that this crazy chick named Dee Dee can take them out one at a time.
And,
so it's fun.
And see, you now actually have like a reason for it to happen. It just seems like that's kind of been lost lately.
No reason. I'm so glad you put a light on that, because there's so many times I'll watch a movie and I'll say, oh, come on.
Yeah. I mean, like the Paranormal Activity. How many of those Paranormal Activity movies have there been now? Like 9?
If there were 9, there were 10 too many.
And they don't make, there's no reason for them to exist.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And
they look like they cost about $10 to make, too. And so, I mean, like, you know, it's not hard to explain what you just explained. It's a good idea for a movie, but it's an idea. It's something other than, ooh, there's a spooky ghost.
Yeah, the cool thing about Smothered, I'm not into the spooky ghost things. I don't like things to happen that can't happen. In a horror movie, in a crime drama, in whatever it is we're doing, I like things to make sense, because I hate, as an audience member, I hate saying, oh, come on, that shouldn't happen. So, and also one of the things I don't like in a lot of horror films is you don't care when the people die. They spend more time figuring out great kills than they do developing characters. So in Smothered, there's actually I don't know if there's a tear or two, but there's certainly there's an old Yeller moment or two in Smothered, which I think is important. You're supposed to care when people are
right.
When people are dying at the next of their 73 Winnebago.
I guess
at a Comic-Con.
The idea is to be somehow impacted by what happened beyond, oh man, that was cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you don't want to see it. It's like, oh no. I mean, I kill people in very unique, not horrifically expensive ways. You know, if you run a garroting wire around a ballerina's upper calf and then pull it tight and rip the meat off of her leg, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all.
And I know it doesn't, especially because she's a ballerina. But if I've seen movies where they go through great pains to tear people limb from limb, and you don't even know who they are,
yeah.
You don't even care. You don't know their names. You don't know their history. But in this one, certainly you know their names, because Kane is playing Kane.
Right.
And Don Shanks is playing Don Shanks. And R.A. is playing R.A.
So is this a tough pitch for all these guys? Or?
No, they read it. They read it. And they, because I've been to so many car shows and comic cons and pop culture different meetings and had great shows and had terrible shows. I was at a show this last weekend that made the wrestler look like the ultimate success story. And it just happens sometimes.
So sometimes you get like a really good response, and other times you just kind of sitting there looking around?
Well, sometimes I usually get a good response, but sometimes the show is well attended and sometimes it's not.
Oh.
Or sometimes someone from a brand new show like Arrow, there'll be a couple of people from Arrow that will show up. And of course, you know, people show up with $60 and they're going to spend their $60 on whatever is new and exciting to them. I do well at most of them. I do great at other ones. But this last weekend was just dreadful.
Jeez.
But it was dreadful for everybody. And somebody said, oh my gosh, it was a terrorist attack. It was awful. A bomb went off in the autograph line. Wow. No one was hurt. No one was injured.
So where can people get this movie at? Where can we get
Smothered?
Well,
you can get it on iTunes. You can get it just if you put in John Schneider Smothered, there's a lot of places you can buy it. iTunes is the first one that shows up, I believe. But you go that route, it'll be I don't know how much it's going to cost. That stuff is not much. But the good news for me is, I mean, I certainly want it to be on the big screen, but the really good news is apparently what's going on with video on demand is making kind of like when VHS came out and then DVDs came out, everyone is having to rethink what the ultimate goal is.
Right.
When I was a kid, it was all about John Wayne on the big screen and paying $1.50 for popcorn. And now, you know, you pay $1,000 for popcorn and John Wayne is dead. But the goal now is...
That sounds like a t-shirt, John.
John?
That sounds like a really good t-shirt idea.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, why not? But I'm excited because I'm told that on demand, I mean, it's a global release. So you don't know. And there's only so many theater seats, but conceivably, you could sell a movie a million times when it comes out. Bam, just
right.
Like that. Coming from a television world, I mean, on Dukes of Hazzard, we averaged 28 million people a week watching the show. And on the Haves and Have Nots now, which is a great, great show. We're a cable network that gets right at 4 million people watching it every week. Which
that's
is
a Tyler Perry show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. If just so, those 4 million people get smothered, I'll be very happy.
What do you do on the Tyler Perry Show? Are you a next door neighbor?
No. I'm a judge who's running for governor.
Oh.
Who is a guy that basically makes J.R. Ewing look like a choir boy. I'm a very bad man.
Oh, so you're a bad guy.
I'm a bad guy, but
that's
there,
good.
There really are no good people on the Haves and Have Nots.
The bad guys are the fun roles, right? You get to kind of
ham it
up a bit.
Bad guys are a lot of fun, yeah. And Tyler writes amazingly complex cliffhanger type shows. So the bad when I get to do bad things, they're really despicable, and that's terrific. I like it.
It
takes me out of that mold.
I have one question that has nothing to do with any other thing that we've talked about, but I'm curious about it. You were Superman's dad on Smallville for a long time. When they put out a Superman movie and Costner is Superman's dad, do you size up Costner? Like, do you watch that movie and say, that's not how you play Superman's dad? Or I mean, is there competition? Or?
I think he did. No, there's no competition. I was much better.
Well, you had a lot more time to kind of develop it.
Well, and I also had a much better script.
No, it wasn't a great movie.
The script, Smallville, I think every episode of Smallville was better than every movie they've done since Chris did one. I think Smallville was better than the original Superman films, really.
Are you looking forward to the new one, or do you not really care all that much?
Well, I kind of care. I've been asked, I've got a video out there somewhere where they're saying Superman or Batman, and I said, well, I mean, obviously it's Superman because Batman is a fictional character. So, I'm a little strange. But that's a callback to, do you remember Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Remember the movie Stand By Me?
The kids are
walking down by the railroad track and they're arguing whether or not Superman or Mighty Mouse would win a fight. And the one kid says, well, duh, Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. So.
Hey, it's about time they remake Stand By Me, I think.
I think so. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's been long enough.
Stephen King needs another book.
I'm joking, but I'm sure they probably are already remaking.
Well, they remake. Yeah, you know, that's something that you nearly brought up that really aggravates me. They keep rebooting things.
Yeah.
And they keep rebooting them poorly. There's a whole group of people out there who are young people and old people like me, and I'm sure one or two people who are even older than me, who have great ideas and great ways to express them cinematically. And yet, Hollywood keeps redoing the same old idea. They seem to have lost, because they've gained the ability to polish a turd, which means they've gained the ability to save a bad movie with excellent marketing, they seem to have forgotten that it really is about the story.
Right.
If you don't have a good, they used to know, if you don't have a good story, you don't make the movie. You can work on the script, and if you can turn that into a good story, then you make it into a movie. But nowadays, I mean, I was up doing the 10th season of Smallville, and they had already budgeted Superman, Man of Steel, and they were already looking for locations and getting places in Vancouver. And I said, oh, that's terrific. And it was, I think, $300 million. $300 million. And I said to this guy, he was a transportation coordinator for Man of Steel, I believe. And I said, hey, how's the script? Is it good? Is it better than that last one? And he said, they haven't finished the script yet.
Then what are they scouting?
Right? Yeah. And what have they budgeted?
Right.
What are they scouting? What have they budgeted? Well, you know, we think we're going to need a this and we think we're going to need a that.
But more than likely, we're going to blow up something. We got to find something that'll look good when we blow it up.
But they had greenlit something that the script was not finished on. They had estimated a budget on something the script was not finished on. And they were picking locations for something that the script was not finished on.
Jeez.
And when you pick locations, you have to commit to when you're going to use them. So basically, they were saying the business part of storytelling is more important than the storytelling. We'll make the story right somehow. And they didn't. You know, so it's a sad state of affairs. I saw it happen in the music business too, and eventually garage bands kicked the labels' butts, and the labels all went away, and now, you know, garage bands are king.
And then it all just kind of ended up on the internet, and now it's just
Napster
there.
Yeah, came around, and then it ended up on the internet, and and Keith Richards is still alive. You'll figure. we've all gotten to the age where we're going to have to really start considering what kind of a world we're going to be leaving for Keith Richards. But it's an interesting state that Hollywood is in, because it seems to me that the deck is stacked against them, and they're the ones that did it. And that usually is the case. So I honestly believe that independent filmmaking is where it's at, just as independent music was where it's at, was where it was at and still is.
But the problem, I think, ultimately, is that there's so much of it now. We have so much to choose from that it's kind of hard to differentiate yourself from everything else. That would be the case with music and movies, and really everything now is just like you're competing with so many things that, I mean, it's great that, you know, us as consumers have like an abundance of things to choose between. But I mean, as far as like, you know, a guy like you trying to make, you know, a movie and put it out on demand, I mean, you're competing with so many things.
Well, so many things, yeah. But I mean, what I have in my favor, hopefully, is that there is a built-in audience out there.
Yeah.
There's a built-in curiosity. So I still need a distribution arm that is willing to spend money to get the poster in front of faces.
Right.
And who knows, one day maybe we'll figure out a way to do that ourselves. I don't know. If on demand is the way to go, then it's a website and a paywall and someone's advertising. So if I could figure out a way to reach the fan base from Dukes and Smallville and Leverage and Nip Tuck and
you were on Jag, man.
I know, I was a Tonk in Jag, yeah.
Do you call your buddies up and like invite them over to watch your episode of Jag? I'm curious about like you know your level of enthusiasm about it. I mean, do you still get excited like when you're on the TV? Do you watch yourself?
Oh, very excited. Yeah, it's great. It's great. I get more excited when it's something I wrote. I mean, I'd rather see something I wrote that I'm not in than something I didn't write that I am in.
Yeah.
Because you're so much more involved in that.
So Smothered comes out Tuesday.
Smothered comes out Tuesday.
Is there like a website that people can go to find all the places they can get it?
Go to IndieCan.
IndieCan.com,
or just go to iTunes. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same movie.
Wherever you get it, just get it. Yeah, it looks great, John. I'm excited about it. You got stuff coming on down the pipeline. It's exciting stuff, man.
I'm so excited here with my the studio in Louisiana. Alicia and I, like I said, I met a woman who used to run Robert Evans Company. So I met a woman who knows the ropes. She knows how to do this stuff, and she's raised her daughter, and now she's getting back into the business. So this is someone who doesn't say, "Well, you know, I don't know if you should be making this movie." She says, "You know, we got to hurry up if we're going to make three movies this year."
Sounds like a good problem to have.
I know, and she likes to golf, so you know, and she drinks margaritas. So what's wrong with any of that, right?
Right.
Well, I hope you enjoy Smothered. It really is a very unique look at the horror world. There's a publication online called Bloody Disgusting, and there's another one called Fangoria, and both of them basically said that Smothered is a love letter to the horror fan. So this is a movie that actually has horror fans in it, because a bunch of it takes place at a thing I call VoodooCon. So you'll see the horror fans dressed up inside. You'll see the ones that are trying to get autographs for free outside because they don't want to pay. You'll see the guy that doesn't want you to use a black Sharpie because it has to be blue so it can be authenticated. I mean, you'll see all those people that you see at every Comic-Con, and it's a lot of fun. It is a whole lot of fun.
John, thank you for doing this, man.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for caring. Thanks for helping to spread this word. You know, it's tough, like you said. I mean, I'm going up against a whole big machine.
Right.
And I hope to turn out okay. And I guess that's kind of where I started out. That was the motto of the good old Dukes, right? We're fighting the system.
Right. Take it easy, man. Maybe when the next one comes out, we can do it again.
I'd love to.
Appreciate it, John.
All right. You take care.
Have a good one.